We're going to look at a few verses. It's actually several verses, but I think you have to see what these verses are saying to get to the scripture I want to look at tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 2, starting with verse 1, God has set Jeremiah as a prophet to tell the people that they need to turn around. And he's got a word. And God lets them know they're not going to receive it. They're not going to want to receive it. But isn't God awesome that even though he knows that our hearts harden toward him, he still, his mercy keeps pursuing us. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ear of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on forsaking the spring. Forsaking the spring. Can we pray? Almighty God, I pray that, Lord, that you would, Lord, speak tonight, that, Lord, you would be able to minister, and that your word would come forth, and that, God, that our eyes would be open to the experience that you have designed for us to have, that overwhelming, overflowing relationship that, Lord, that you have designed for us. That's your plan. That is your will for us. And God, that if we have strayed from the springs of living water, if we've strayed to anything else, Almighty God, that's not satisfying our soul and it's not you, that we would, Lord, again, return to the springs of your presence. And Lord, that we would overflow. Have your way, Lord, and have your way on the altar tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is very disappointed. The Lord is condemning the people because he has been faithful to them and he did the miraculous to them and he takes them back and he shows them that something's happened to our relationship, because when I called you out into the wilderness, we were close and you followed at my command and you made mistakes, but every time you had a need, I met the need and I was your God and you were my people and I delivered you through every calamity that was coming your way. I gave you great victories. I supplied food, and two times in the wilderness, I brought water out of rocks and out of the desert to supply 2 million or more people's thirst, and you never had anything to worry about. And then when I brought you in to the land of promise that I had prepared for you to show my love for you and to show my blessings on you, you turned your back on me, and now you have strayed from the living water. He says, from the source, the spring of living water. And what have you traded me away for? But cisterns that can't hold no water. These cisterns is talking about is what they would take, especially in the Middle East, where the summers would be really hot and they would be drought, that during the rain season that they would take out of the limestone and they would cut deep pits and chambers down into the rock, and it would catch the rainfall that would run down and it would fill into these pits and it would give them a resource for water whenever it got dry during the summer. The only thing about this water, it wasn't like something that comes out of out of the water fountain out here, because they would take these pits and they would cover them a lot of times with a limestone plaster, and there would be things that could get into the water, and it would have maybe a salty taste. And then if there wasn't enough rain, you may not have enough water to make it through the hot season. And then a lot of times another problem is that there would develop cracks into the plaster, into the painting that they would put to kind of hold the water and water a tight finish, and it would leak out. And God's saying that here I am, the source, the Spirit that overflows you, that has always met your needs. It's always been there for you. And you have walked away from me for things that could never satisfy you. And he's telling them one more time, I'm pleading with you, turn back. Judgment's coming, but God's grace followed them all the way till the judgment, and even through it. God is a faithful God, and he was grieved. You know, we have a necessity of water. We might make you thirsty tonight. It's usually about 10 degrees hotter up here than it is down there, so I'll probably get thirsty before you. Can I give you a few water facts? Some of these is actually pretty interesting. I learned a few things. I did a little research on water. Everybody don't run out on me and head to the water fountain, because we're going to talk a lot about water tonight. You know, water is a necessity of life. We've already established that. Let me tell you some things that you might not know about water. This one you do. When our bodies fail to retain the right amount of water, we get dehydrated. If you've ever been severely dehydrated and you get to the point where you pass out, that is the most sickening feeling. Our body does not like to be without water. Your body is 2/3 water. You may have known that. The body absorbs cold water faster than warm water or hot water. By the time that you are 70 years old, you will have required 1.5 million gallons of water. If you lose 2% of your body's water supply, your energy will decrease by 20%. 2%, 20%. So if you have no strength, you know why. Lack of water is the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. It's the number one trigger of daytime fatigue. 75% of Americans are dehydrated. 3 out of 4 in this room tonight is dehydrated, and you may not know it. Primary research indicates that if you take 8 to 10 glasses of water a day, you could significantly ease back and joint pain for 80% of people who complain of it. Now, I like that one. Has anybody else got it? I'm in my upper 40s, and I'm already hurting. I've already got arthritis, and I thought, I'm drinking more water. I'm going to start drinking more water to see if that's true. 80% of sufferers would have relief if they drank just 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. Here, if you worry about your brain, here's one for your brain. Even mild dehydration will slow down your metabolism. Studies have shown that with prolonged dehydration, brain cells actually begin to shrink. The small shrinkage will impair neuromuscular coordination, decrease concentration, and slow your thinking. So if you're having trouble, we need water. Just a few more. Increasing water consumption has been shown to help relieve migraine headaches, high blood cholesterol, arthritis pain, allergies, and high blood pressure. Drinking 5 glasses of water a day significantly decreases the risk of several cancers in your body. 2 more. In 30% of Americans, the thirst mechanism is so weak that it is often mistaken for hunger. If you have a 10% decrease in water, you will be unable to walk. If you have a 20% decrease in your body, you die. We need water. We need water. Our body is designed, it's made up of water. And not only do we need water in this physical body, but we need it in the spiritual. We have gotten in America to a place that just like this story in the Old Testament, America was founded by power of God without a shadow of a doubt. God's intervention and God's hand was all through our history. We rose up because of His help. And today, the only reason that we're still existing is because of the grace and mercy of God. People cried out to God because they knew they were no force for what they were facing. People desired to worship God. People desired to be separated from God. And they stood on their beliefs. And God was instrumental in making this country. And God blessed us. No country has ever been blessed like the country that you and I live. And as soon as God pours out His blessing and all of a sudden, just like the children of Israel, the America starts looking around and sees all the prosperity and all the things that's going on, and somehow we mistake it in our life and we think that it's because of something that we have done is the reason we experience prosperity. And we see that we just have the economy has been shaken in the last few years, but still people are under a false pretense that everything's going to be okay. And God, even this hour, is saying that my people need to return to me. There is a relationship that I desire to have with my church. There's a relationship that I've designed to have with my people, and I want to pour out my spirit in you, and I want you to be overflowing with the power of my spirit, and I want you to have the fullness of my spirit in your life. And yet we can, if we don't watch out, that we'll stray away from that spring of living water, and we'll take things that we have done and accomplishments and goals and entertainment and other things in our life, and it replaces that relationship. And then we keep going through the motions. We think we're okay because we can go through the motions, and we come into the house of God and we know what to do and we go through the service. But if we're truthful, a lot of times if we go back out that door and we don't feel any different than we came in, then we did not tap in to the source that God is offering us today. God doesn't want us to walk in our own strength. God doesn't want us to walk and have thirst and desire. Inside of me, I know there's more. Inside of me, I know God is wanting to do a lot more in my life, in my family, in First Pentecostal, in our community. God wants to pour out life in this place. God wants to pour out life and new life within us, but we have to be willing to let Him. We have to be willing to surrender to Him. It's not only in the Old Testament. Jesus made the same offer in the book of John, chapter 7. There was the Jewish holidays, or holy days, is like our holidays. And their third greatest holiday is called their holidays feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is where they celebrate how God supplied water for them all the way through those desert experience. And during this week, it's a holy week, and they don't work. And they every day, there's a ritual. They come to the temple, and the priest walks with them. He's got a large golden pitcher, and they walk with him to the spring as they sing. And he gets to the Gihon spring, and he fills it full of water. And as he's filling it, the choir is singing the verse in Isaiah 12, verse 3. They're singing, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." They then, when he fills the pitcher, they follow him back to the temple, to the altar, and he pours the water over the altar. It's significant for two things. One, again, they're remembering what God done from the desert, but also it is symbolic of the coming Messiah, whose flood, you see a picture in Ezekiel, and it was alluded to this morning, where the water is coming from the throne of God out of the temple. And it says that Isaiah was the angel took him 1,000 yards, and he said, now they measured out 1,000 cubits. And it was ankle deep. And he walked out 1,000 cubits, and the water was knee deep. And he walked out 1,000 cubits, and it was waist deep. And he went out 1,000, and it says it was too deep for him to even get in because it was over his head. It was for someone to swim. It was just an unbelievable amount of water. It just kept flowing and getting deeper. And it was symbolic of that reign of Christ that was to come. And it's also symbolic tonight of God's presence that you can't tap. You cannot contain the resources that God has for your life. We go around all the time and we have all the signs and symptoms of spiritual dehydration. And we come and God is sitting there saying, but I have offered you a spring of overflowing well to spring up within us. And we're going around and doing without so much that I have for you. And as they're going through this, so they were on the seventh day of this holiday, they do it seven times. So you can imagine they walk back and forward to this spring and they feel the picture and they're praising God, praising Him for salvation, the wells of salvation and the water's flowing off the altar. Then they go get another one. On the seventh time, by that time water's gushing all over the place. It was at this moment that Jesus stood up. He stood up in the midst of them and he quoted this, and we see it in John 7:37-39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, all right, hang on a minute. The great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He stands up. They're talking about the power of God and what God's going to do and thanking him for his blessings and pouring out the water in the desert. And Jesus stands up and said, you don't have to be satisfied with what happened yesterday, but I'm standing here right here. I am the source of living water. If any person is thirsty, all you've got to do is come to me. All you got to do is tap into my source. All you got to do is tap into my fountain and you will overflow. See, God doesn't want us to come. He doesn't say, come and take a sip of me. Come take a small drink of me. And every time you're thirsty, keep coming. He says, no, come to me. Tap into me and you will continually, you will have the Spirit of God flowing out of you. That Holy Spirit is to be something that every day is renewed and flowing from us. The reason we're not seeing the Spirit of God moving the way it is that we're not tapping into the presence of God and overflowing. We just get a little taste. And we're satisfied and we come back and we'll get a little bit later. That's not God's plan for our lives. We need to tap into that spring that He's offered. There's four reasons why we need to do it. There's plenty more, but one is that it will satisfy the longing of your soul with its cool waters. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that experience when you got saved and everything is fresh and new and you wanted to carry your Bible everywhere? Hopefully you had that experience to where it was so awesome and you wanted to talk about it. And every time the church doors was open, you were the first one there and you were just longing and you read the Word of God. And the preacher preached, you was just eating it up like a hungry bird. Everything was just something you wanted and you ate it up. But after so long, if we don't watch out, that our hearts kind of get cool and we get away from the things and we get to where we get satisfied with other things. And God wants us to continually be satisfied by His presence. I remember as a young man, I got saved 7 years old in the old church. And I went through as a teenager in this church. And then I went out and I turned my back on God. It was a horrible period of time. I really thought there was a lot of things that I was missing out there. And there was sin. And there was fun for a season. But every single night, it seemed like, as I went to bed, I was fearful. I was so disappointed in myself, and I was disappointed in the fact I knew nothing had ever come close to that feeling that God had put in my heart in those youth camps and in that altar and that Holy Spirit. Nothing in this world could ever cause me to feel like I did during those times when I felt God's presence moved. I couldn't get away from that. Even I was the most miserable sinner you've ever seen. I tried my best and I could not enjoy sin because of God's, we heard about His grace this morning. And God's grace that drew me back. And God's grace that says you don't have to be this way. I have the joy that's going to satisfy the longing of your soul. Marie and I was so privileged. She works for the college. And a few years ago, they took a trip. And it was a pretty amazing thing. I've told, maybe said some of this before, but her whole expenses was covered. I mean, they were paying for her trip to go to Europe, to go to Italy and France. And so all I had to do was pay my way. Now, that was still quite a bit of paying, but I was able to do it over a period of a few months. And if I didn't, she was going to kill me. So we had to go. She wasn't going to miss this opportunity, and I was reluctant, and I did. But I got the money together, and we went, and I'm so glad we did. While we was over there, we spent a few days here and a few days there. We spent 4 days in Rome. Now, the thing about this time we went was it was July. And July in Rome, I want to tell you right now, it is hot. It is hot. And all these big, there isn't a lot of trees in Rome. There is huge buildings and a lot of sun. And I tell you what, I don't know how much money I spent on water. We would look for two things, gelato, which was like a form of ice cream, and water. You was afraid to drink some of the water. I was afraid I'd get sick. So we were buying bottled water, and it was 2 euros, which is about 3 American dollars. I probably spent $100 in those 4 days that we were in Rome trying to keep hydrated, because they would leave us there for hours, and we would just sit down, or I'd get lost somewhere, and all the town square, I mean, all these different big buildings, they all started looking alike, and I'd get lost, and then we'd have to walk forever. I was spending a lot of money on water. Now, I seen something, and I didn't realize till later what I had missed an opportunity. They had these weird fountains, and they're called Nansone. In Italian, it means big-nosed. And it had a spout on it like a tea kettle, a crooked nose, and water was just flowing from these things, and they were everywhere. In fact, I looked it up. There's 2,500 of these in Rome. It's a pretty big deal. I wish I'd researched this before I went. Because I'm sitting there dying of thirst, and we wait until I had to throw $6 at a time to get both of us a water. So I was spending all this money on water, and I was afraid to drink this water because I was afraid it would make me sick. But I found out later that this water is checked for quality 250,000 times a year. They have something that's continually checking it. They have 2,500 of these. It is an amazing aqueduct system that feeds from a river through 70 miles of underground ducts, and it's always flowing from these things, and it's ice cold, clean, free water. And I spent $100 to get bottled water from some creek somewhere, and they had this amazing, clear, good tasting ice cold. I couldn't tell you from experience because I didn't try it. It just says it's ice cold, and it was made available for free. And I walked by every one of those and never drunk one drop. Isn't that the way we are in the spiritual sometimes, that God is right there and God is everywhere you look? God's presence is trying to draw us and get our attention and calls us to tap into His resources. And He says, here I am, drink of me. And we say, no, I've got something on my own. I can take care of this. I can go a little bit further. And we take a few more steps, and God again, drink of me. I've got an overflowing resources. It's cool. It'll refresh your soul. It'll overflow you. It's exactly what you're longing for. And yet we say, no, God, I don't want to. I'm going to keep doing it myself, only to be satisfied and walk away from the greatest blessing that we could ever have in our life, is surrendering to the Lord. He offers us a free, refreshing, replenishing, life-giving water, and to those who are thirsty and who will come to Him. The second thing the spring will do is the spring, you can never exhaust its abundant supply. Why? Because it is tapped into an underground resource where there's water pent up and there's pressure to where it wants to come forth. You can't exhaust the power and the presence of God in your life. It says in John 4:13-14, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. And in verse 13 it says, Jesus answered and said to her, anyone who drinks of this water, talking about the well water, will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life. Jesus wants us to daily tap into His presence, to where when we go throughout life, that His presence is overflowing us. Have you ever tried to cap a spring? I have this memory of when I was probably 10 years old. My mom had been wanting, and me and my brother was wanting an above-ground pool, and we'd asked for one and cried for one for years. And so Dad finally done some extra jobs and got the money together, and we was going to put it in. So he had a guy come with some heavy equipment, and they dug out to put the pool in. And when they did, water started appearing. Well, what my dad didn't realize is he'd actually got into an underground spring. So this it made a pond in our backyard. He had this ideal because it quit flowing. It actually filled up so far and stopped. He had to go to work the next day, and he had these five-gallon buckets. Now, when you're 10, 8 and 10, those buckets are about as big as you are. And he told Mom, says, "Now, Judy, tomorrow, school's out. You get them boys, and they need to get out there, and they need to keep getting them buckets in that water. And they go to the back of the yard and pour them things out and get that water out so we can work on that pool tomorrow." So Mom, being a faithful wife, said, "Okay, boys, get on it." So it was fun. We was all about it for a while because we knew we're going to splash some water here and play in it a little bit. And if we get all this water out, we're going to be swimming pretty quick. So we kept getting five gallons. Water is about 8 pounds a gallon. So we're talking about 40 pounds at a time for these little dudes. And we're packing these buckets with all we got. And we're carrying them to the end of the yard. And it seems like forever. And we're throwing the water out and we're coming back. And we keep doing this. I mean, 2 hours later, we're still doing it. And I keep noticing something. That water ain't going down. I kept going to Mom, this water is not, I'm telling you, Mom, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea, but this water, we're not making any headway. "Now, son, your dad said, get out there. Get that water out of there. Get it done. Get out there. Quit crying. Get out there." 2 more hours. I was to the point, I was exhausted. "Mom, please, please, please come out of here and look at this. Something is not right. Watch this. Come out here." She said, "Okay, we're going to do it. You do 50 buckets. I'm going to watch you. You're going to do 50 buckets. I'm going to watch, and we're going to see what you're saying." 50 bucks later, it's the exact same level. You know what it was? It's that spring. That spring was building it right back up because you couldn't exhaust it. It took a lot of work to get enough dirt and sand and everything in there to put enough pressure to kind of push that down and seal off that spring again because it had been tapped and that thing was going to come forth. That is the thing that the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants you to tap into the spring of His Spirit so that every day, whatever's going on in your life, you don't have to worry about your strength anymore because that spring is bubbling up within you. When you're talking to someone and they have a need, that spring is still bubbling up within you. When you face that need and you need help, that spring is still bubbling up within you. That's God's design for your life, is to tap into that spring. And you cannot cap His well. You cannot cap His spring. His has a more abundant supply than you could ever need. I don't care how thirsty you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. His abundant supply wants to flow through you. Are you thirsty tonight? Not only is it inexhaustible, not only will it satisfy the longing of your soul, but it brings life wherever it flows. Ezekiel 47 verse 9 says, "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live." It's talking about that flood, that river that flows from that millennial, that throne room of God. Everything it touches will live. Everything it touches. God wants to overflow you so that every person you come in contact with, God knows what they're going through. You don't. And God will put people in your path every day that you will notice the difference. You can be around these same people every day and you get into the presence of God and God pours out His Spirit in your life and you go back to that same exact person tomorrow and God will do something miraculous. You will see God open doors that will blow your mind. He's done it so many times. We can see an example of that in Acts chapter 3. We see that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit has been poured out and God saturates those 120 in the upper room and they pour out in the street. God does a mighty work and thousands are saved and there's something just bubbling up and these men are changed and these women are changed that have been filled with the Spirit. Something's different. Yesterday they were going on stagnant water, but today something is new, something fresh, it's flowing out of them. And it says that about the third hour that Peter and John in chapter 3, they're going to the temple. Now there was a man that scripture says was laid there every single day. They'd seen this man 1,000 times probably. Every day. It's nothing that they weren't used to seeing. They'd been by this guy. If they had some money, they might throw it to him. Most of the time, they're poor fishermen. They probably didn't have anything to give him. And they probably, most of the time, didn't even pay attention to him anymore. If you see something over and over again, you get to where you don't even pay attention. It's normal. So they normally walk by this guy, probably don't give him a second look. But something happens today. They come by him again today. And something within them is stirring up of them. Why? Because that river's flowing. That river's flowing out of them. And they get near him and nothing can keep them from doing something. They see him. Yesterday they had a stagnant experience. And he's asking for gold. He's asking for silver. He's asking for coins. Anything you can give me. They said, let me tell you something. I don't have what you're asking for. What you're asking for is temporary. What you're asking for is going to satisfy you just a little bit. But let me tell you what I've got. Let me tell you what's flowing up inside of me. Let me give you these rivers of living water. Let me touch you with the power of Jesus Christ. Let him heal you. And it says that when they touched him, it says that strength came into his ankles and he leaped up. And the next thing we see, he's leaping around like some kangaroo or something. He's in the house of God, jumping up and down. He's praising God. Why? Because a few minutes ago, two men who didn't have anything to offer the day before, now they've tapped into the spring of God's presence and God pours out on whoever they come in contact with. It's all because of that experience they had in the power of the Spirit. You get around people that need the power of God, and if we come to them and we've not tapped into His presence, we're going to go right on by them. We're going to miss the opportunity that God has for us. We're going to miss the opportunity that God wants to use Him. He's looking for someone who will submit their lives and let Him have control. God does it for a reason, a purpose. He wants to use you. You say that God doesn't do anything. God's not got a purpose for my life. Have you tapped into the spring lately? Have you tapped into His presence lately? You'll see that people will start calling you, asking you questions. You'll see people say, will you pray for me? I know you go to church. Will you pray for me? Will you do this in my life? Will you help me? If you got any wisdom, you'll see God. They'll see tears flowing. And it'll be amazing to you because why you tapped into the presence of God. Airlines, every time you get on a plane, you go through this process that they're going through, and you hear them, you know, they're telling you that if there's an oxygen crisis, if they're going to crash and they get in turbulence, that the masks come down, and they're really instructing, you know, mothers, and this goes just against our nature, make sure you take care of yourself so that you can then take care of others. Because if we don't, then what's going to happen is we're all going to perish. So they want you to take care of yourself so that you can take care of others. That's in the Spirit. It's not selfishness. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit so that you, in turn, can overflow on someone else. That is His desire for your life. There was a man, I heard this example actually here years ago. I don't know who told it. But there was a man who got lost in the desert. And he was dying of thirst. He was desperate. He kept looking, and he had no idea how to get out of where he was. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was going to do. And he come over this dune, and he looked, and there was an old shack down over the hill. And he ran to see if there was anyone there, and it was abandoned. But out in front of the shack, there was a pump well. It was a pump spigot that, if you all remember, some of you may still have these. I remember growing up, my grandpa had the well that you pump, and you might have to prime it, and then you pump it, and water comes up. And it had one of these. It had a little jar that was down in a bucket, and it had some water in it. It was a little warm and probably a little old. And it was a note top to that. He got the water, and he was like, thank God, water. And he gets it, he gets ready to drink it, and he noticed there's a note on the top. And the note on top of it says, pour all the water into the top of the pump to prime it. If you do this, you will get all the water you need. Now, he's got a dilemma. This man is dying. He's got just a little water. So if he tries it and it works, all the water he wants. So what it says, all the water he wants. Well, it looks a little old. He's not sure it would still work. So he could drink the water. But if he drinks the water and he doesn't get the water out of the well, this is just going to buy him a few hours of time, and he's still going to perish. So he wrestles with it, and he finally says, okay, let's try it. So with his mouth parched, he pours the whole jar into the well and prays that it works. He starts pumping. Nothing. He keeps pumping. Still nothing. He starts to have a heart attack. He thinks he's wasted his water. And then all of a sudden, a little spurt. more water, and then it starts gushing. In fact, it gushes so much that he drinks all he can drink. He takes a bath in the water. He fills up everything he can find that he's got on him or around there with water to take with him on his path. And then he gets the well ready for the next person. So he puts water back in the jar. He puts the note back on the jar, but he adds to the top of the note and he writes on it, "Please prime the pump. Believe me, it works!" Exclamation. He tested it and it worked. The Lord asks you to tap in, to give every bit of you to him. Surrender. We sung about surrender tonight. The Lord asks us, surrender your life to me. Don't try to satisfy yourself with anything else. Get back in my altar. Call out on me. Stay in my altar until you feel my presence overflowing you, until it's a river of living water within you. And when you do, you'll know I really work. You'll see the difference. You're satisfied with so little. You're satisfied. Our country and our churches and in my own life, this is me I'm talking to, is satisfied with so little when God has resources that are so much. And it grieves the heart of God when he looks at us and he says, if you could only see what I want to do, if you only could see how I want to pour out my spirit, if you could only see the chains that will be broken, if you could only see the victories that's going to come, if you could only see the revival that I want to send, if you could only see what I want to do with your life, if you'll just get hungry for me and turn back from the things of this world and come back to the source of the spring and let me have full control. And then lastly, this river, this spring is available for who? All those who thirst. All those who thirst. David sensed his need and his desire for that spring. In Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see the power, to see thy power and thy glory. And he says, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. You know what he's saying? I know how great you are because I've been in your presence before. I've been in your house and you've poured your spirit all over me. I've been in your house when your presence came down so strong and you wilted me and you just poured over me and I just wilted in your presence. I know how great and awesome your power is. And God, I know that I can compare that to where I am now. And God, I long. I feel like I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm longing. I don't like what I feel, Lord. I want to feel your presence again. Take me back to your house. Take me back to your presence. Take me back to your well. Take me back to your source of your power, and Lord, let me dip in to your presence. David's seen it, and in this hour, again, God calls out for us. Are you thirsty? Are you longing for me? Are you going to keep me satisfied? What will it take for us to get hungry and thirsty for the things of God, to where we again say, nothing else is more important than you, God. Nothing else is more important than your presence. Nothing else is more important than seeing your Holy Spirit active in our church, that we see healings and we see your power poured out. We see prophecies being fulfilled. We see your power, Lord, being manifested every time we come into your house. This shouldn't be something that's just a rare experience. When we have these great moves of God, I go the next day and I'm still thinking about what happened the night before. And God's saying, let me tell you something. That's supposed to be the norm. That's what we should be experiencing in our lives every day when we let God overflow us. Someone would come to the piano. The Lord is making one last plea tonight for us. He's asking us, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Am I satisfied? Or are we thirsty for the things of God? Who can experience this? There's two requirements. You've got to come to the source and you've got to be thirsty. That's all he asks. Come to the source, to Jesus Christ, and come with a thirst that he can satisfy. Isaiah 44:3 in closing says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. You see, when God pours out his spirit and we tap into that resource afresh. It's not going to just impact you and your life, but those children and those grandchildren and those fathers and mothers and all those that's around you. Because when you cannot overflow with the power of God and not impact someone else. You can't do it. For that river is going to flow out. That river is going to flood your soul. And you don't have to do anything but get around people. And God will open doors. God will do the miraculous. He wants to overflow you and then use you to overflow all those around you. I'm thirsty, aren't you? I'm thirsty. I'm desirous of more of God. I'm desirous of His presence. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to feel come and leave and think, God, I know there's more of You. I know there's more of You than I'm experiencing. And the Lord says, tap into Me. I'm available. Tap into Me. Let's stand if you could. Bow your heads. Lord, God, I pray that God, not a physical hunger and not a physical thirst, but God, a spiritual thirst would fill this place right now. God, that the power of the Spirit that You promised right here. You said, come to Me. If you're thirsty, come to Me and I will put a spring of living water that will overflow your soul. God, that everyone in this room, God, start with Me, God. I'm number one. Start with Me and fill me with a thirst that can be filled with nothing but You, Lord. Nothing else satisfies but You. Nothing else will ever make us feel content. Nothing else will ever make us feel like the presence of God in our lives. And God, we're going through this generation, this last hour, Almighty God, and we know something's not right. We know that God's greater than that. We hear about Him. We talk about Him. But Lord, we need to experience You. Lord, You look at us and You're grieved. Just as You were looking in the Old Testament at Your people You had blessed, and Your heart was grieved because You poured out blessing upon blessing, and You met every need, and You protected them, and You supplied for them, and You did mighty things, and they were Your children, and they turned their hearts away from You. God, this hour that we live in, Lord, we have turned our hearts away from You. Our hearts, Lord, are cold and indifferent. Lord, we're satisfied with everything but the presence of Almighty God. And Lord, I pray that within us, God, would be a desire that says, no more, no more. I can't live this way anymore. This is not the way God wants us to live. I know He has more. I don't want to go throughout eternity knowing that I could have received the fullness of His power, that I could have seen God's revival spring forth in my life, that I could feel His presence every day when I get up, that I could feel His presence every night when I went to bed, that all through the day, through every trouble and trial, that I feel God's arms and power surround me, and that when I get around those that are needy, all of a sudden out of the blue, that well springs forth and God meets other people's needs. Why? Because we're tapped into Your presence, oh God. Lord, I pray right now that You would open our hearts. God, open our eyes, open our hearts. Let us not be satisfied one day longer without tapping into Your spring of living water. Oh, God, You do the work. You draw, God. Hallelujah. Oh, we're needy, God. We're needy. Oh, God, Your well, Your spring is here, Lord. If only we tap into it.